Three guys were discussing what they wanted said at their funeral as people walked by their casket. First guy said, "When people walk by my casket, I like for them to say how I put God first. He was number one in my life, and how, because of Jesus, my life made a difference in society." Second guy said, "When people walk by my casket, look down at me, I want them to say I was a family man, loved my kids, poured my life into my children, and my children are following after the ways of the Lord." Third guy, "When people walk by my casket, want them to look down at me and say, 'Look, he's moving.'" That is the resurrection. Nobody can say that about anybody else who has died. But you go to the tomb of Jesus Christ, he's not there. Amen. I've been to that tomb. It's empty. For he has gone back to heaven, and he's coming again. Today, billions of people across the world are celebrating the resurrection. The resurrection is the central point of all of history. Do you realize when you write a check, for those of you who still write checks, you put that date on that check, that date just testifies to the reality of the resurrection. The BC, before Christ, AD, the year of the Lord. You are, when you're writing your check for your mortgage bill or whatever it is, you are testifying, there is a resurrection, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 11, it's the story of Lazarus. Lazarus has been sick. Lazarus has died. His two sisters are upset. Martha is having a conversation with Jesus, and Jesus makes some incredible statements about resurrection living. Three truths I want you to see today. Sermon I'm entitling, "I'm Gonna Live Forever." First truth, notice the person of the resurrection. John 11 verse 25. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." So who is this resurrection and the life? You go back to Exodus chapter 3. God identified himself to Moses. Moses says, "Who shall I go to Pharaoh and tell him who sent me?" God said, "Tell him the I am that I am has sent you." And Jesus, some 20 times throughout the Gospel of John, he says, "I am." He was declaring, "I am God." John chapter 6, verse 35, he said, "I am the bread of life." John chapter 8, verse 12, he says, "I am the light of the world." John chapter 10, verse 9, he says, "I am the door." John chapter 10, verse 11, he says, "I am the good shepherd." John chapter 14, verse 6, we saw it last week. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." John chapter 15, verse 5. "I am the true vine." But here in John chapter 11, verse 25, he says, "I am the resurrection and the life." Now here's the key about Jesus. Because Jesus is the resurrection and the life, nothing could stay dead around Jesus. Jesus encountered three people that had died in his ministry, in his time here on earth. All three of them came back to life because it is who he is. He is resurrection and he is life. Nothing could stay dead around Jesus. That's why when Jesus was on the cross, in between the two thieves, Jesus had to die first. If one of these guys would have died first, death cannot stay around Jesus. He would have brought him back to life because that's who he is. He is resurrection and he is life. Wherever Jesus is, He brings resurrection power and he brings life. He'll bring that to your home. He'll bring that to your marriage. He will bring that to you personally. It is the embodiment of who he is. Notice verse 25. He says, I am the great title for God the Father. I am the resurrection and the life. Resurrection is the beginning. Life is what follows. So Jesus gives resurrection, but Jesus gives life, abundant life, supernatural life, overflowing life. These people say, oh, if you're going to be a Christian, you're going to be living a boring, ho-hum, dry life. No, 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 no. Not with Jesus. Jesus says, hey, it's who I am. The wolf pack know nothing about a good time. I am the resurrection and the life. It is who I am. Can I get a witness? Come on, at least the Tar Heels should give me a witness. The path to heaven. Listen to this. It's not a doctrine. It's not a principle. The pathway to heaven. How can I live forever? How can I go to heaven? It's a person. It's Jesus. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. You want to go to heaven? It's Jesus. Jesus, and Jesus alone. If you are sick, you don't need a medical book. You need a doctor. If you get sued, you don't want a law book. You want a lawyer and a good one. If you're hungry, like some of you are getting right now, you don't want a menu. You want a meal. Jesus is the resurrection and life. You say, how do I get to heaven? One word, Jesus and Jesus alone. Number one, the person of resurrection. Number two, the prerequisite of resurrection. The prerequisite for eternal life. Jesus could have said, okay, you got to give $10 million. He didn't say money. He could have said, you got to do so many good deeds. He didn't say you had to do works. He could have said, well, you got to be a member of the church. He didn't say that. Well, you got to be dunked in the tank. Didn't say that. What did he say? Verse 25. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and life. He that believeth in me. You don't have to have money to believe in Jesus. You don't have to have academics to believe in Jesus. It's faith. But verse 25 says, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Verse 26, whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Let me talk to you about this belief. Anybody ever seen these glass elevators outside of a building that take you up to some ungodly height? Anybody ever seen that? I don't like them. I don't like heights. Don't like glass elevators at all. Now, if you ask me if I believe in them, well, I believe they exist. I believe that they'll take you up there to where you all want to go. But I don't believe in them for me. I don't like them. Don't like the way they look. Don't like the way they smell. If I get on them, I'm afraid that I'm going to get halfway up and some guy that doesn't like me is going to have his shotgun. He's going to shoot me at the 42nd floor. I don't like glass elevators. Tracy and I were at the Marriott Marquis, and they have one of these outside glass elevators. And if you go up to the top, they have the Sundial restaurant. I'd rather eat food on the bottom floor, not the top floor. 70-something floor. And the bad part of that restaurant is it spins. So here, I don't like heights. And then I'm on top of a building that's spinning. And I'm saying, if it's spinning, what's holding this thing down? So I'm already having brain spasms because she has conned me into going up there and having supper that I'm not going to enjoy. But then I have to take this glass elevator all the way up there and get to that place. You ask me, do you believe in glass elevators? Believe they exist. But I ain't getting on them. So Tracy, all by her lonesome, got on that elevator, went all the way up. I went where the smart people go. Inside elevator, baby. Black walls. No fancy, no thrills. And I got up there, and my heart was just fine till I was on the 72nd floor looking out. Belief. A lot of you believe in Jesus. Oh, yeah, it's the most recorded fact in history. He died on the cross. Oh, I believe in that. Oh, I believe he rose from the dead. You believe in the fact of Jesus. You're like me. I ain't getting on that elevator. You've never gotten on the Jesus elevator and believed in the person of Jesus. Some of you have gone to church for a whole lot of years, but you've never believed with your whole heart in Jesus. You say, I want to live forever. I want to go to heaven. It doesn't cost money today. Hey, you don't have to do a million good deeds. Here's what you got to do. You got to get on the Jesus elevator. Jesus, I'm all in. Totally, completely trusting you for everything. One other condition, look at verse 26. He that believeth, whosoever liveth and believeth in me. So you got to do it while you're living. Once you die, no other opportunity. Your mama can't come and pray you out of hell or purgatory. There's no, Bible never teaches anything about purgatory. So if you want to believe in Jesus today, you can do it. You can do it as long as you have a pulse. But when you take your last breath, you have lost your last opportunity to put your faith in the Lord Jesus. Number two, the prerequisite for the resurrection. Number three, and I'm done. Notice the power of the resurrection. Verse 26. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me, notice what it says, shall never die. You'll never experience spiritual death. Revelation 21 verse 8 talks about it. It's being separated from God in a place called hell. He's like, I don't want to go to that place. You believe. If you believe, you will never experience that spiritual death. If you know Jesus, you will die physically unless the rapture takes place first. But you will never die spiritually. Now look what it says. Shall never die. In the Greek, that's a double negative. Now my mother was an English teacher. She didn't like when I used double negatives. Won't do no good, mama. She would get her fly swat. I ain't got no time for that. She would start coming after us. We don't use double negatives in this house. Don't know nothing about that, mama. You know what Jesus is saying? If you believe in me, pardon my grammar, you ain't never going to die. You ain't, where's my hanky? You ain't never, forgive me, mom, you ain't never going to die. That's what it means. And if that's not good enough, look at the second word. Whosoever. whosoever. Gospel is open to anyone who believes. So it's open to the young person. It's open to the old person, open to the rich person, open to the poor person, open to the educated person, open to the uneducated person. It's for every. You say, well, you don't know what I've done. You don't know who it's for. Whosoever means everyone. So if you are part of everyone, you qualify. All you have to do is put your faith in the Lord Jesus. You go to the Egyptian pyramids. They're famous because they have all of the remains of those ancient kings. And you can see them there. You go to Westminster Abbey and you see a lot of the nobility of the English royalty buried in Westminster Abbey. You go to Arlington Cemetery. You see so many of our heroes and where they are buried. But if you go to the tomb where our Lord lay, he's not there. Why? Because he is the resurrection and he is the life. He rose from the dead and now he offers it to you. All you have to do is believe. Tells this to Martha. Notice what he says in the last part of verse 6. Do you believe this? Believest thou this? Jesus is asking, not do you believe, am I going to raise your brother from the dead? He's saying, do you believe that I am the source of resurrection power? Martha, looking at Jesus, says in verse 27, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Yea, Lord, I believe. It's the perfect tense, meaning it's a fixed and settled faith. It's almost like she stomps her foot. Jesus, I believe. I believe with everything that I have, everything that I am. I believe. Do you want to go to heaven? You want to live forever? Great news. It's not going to cost you $100 million. It's not going to require you to do a bunch of good deeds. Belief in the perfect Lamb of God. The resurrection. Now notice what Martha said. Use three terms for Jesus. Lord. Christ. Son of God. Lord, you're a boss. I'm not. I'm accepting your way. Not my way. You could say, I'm repenting of my sins and I'm going to follow you, Jesus. Lord, called him Christ, that means Messiah. You are the perfect Lamb of God sent to take away the sin of the whole world. And third, she called him the Son of God, God in flesh. She acknowledged who he was. Notice, do you believe this? That's what Jesus said to Martha, and that's my question for you. You say, yeah, but I've been going to church since I was 4 years old. Do you believe Jesus? Do you believe he's the virgin-born Son of God? Do you believe he lived a sinless, perfect life? Do you believe he died on the cross for your sin as your substitute? Do you believe that he rose from the dead? You understand that Jesus came through a door that said no entrance when he was born of a virgin. And he left through a door that said no exit when he rose from the dead. Do you believe that? Do you believe? Look at the next verse. I believe thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. If Jesus Christ is not alive, nothing else matters. Let's go party hard. Nothing else matters. But because Jesus Christ is alive, friend, that's all that matters. Do you believe in Jesus today? Do you believe in him? in the book, The Darkness and Dawn, Chuck Swindoll tells a story about a guy named Ed. Ed had this ritual. Every Friday, he would go to this certain pier. He would walk out to the end of the pier with a bucket of shrimp and his old leather ball cap. Walk down to the end of the pier, about going down to sun, so there were no sunbathers out there. And bucket of shrimp, before long, here would come all of the seagulls. And he would start throwing shrimp to the seagulls. And the more he would throw, the more they would come. If you listen carefully, you could hear old Ed say, "Thank you," and throw a piece of shrimp. "Thank you," throw another piece of shrimp. "Thank you," throw another piece of shrimp. He would stand there once all of the shrimp was gone and just kind of stand out there looking off into the distance. And then he would turn to walk away, and invariably one of the seagulls would land on his old ball cap and he would start walking away and back out to his house. If you were to see old Ed, you would say, "It's a strange bird." No pun intended. But he did that every Friday just to remember. His name? They're going to put his picture on the screen. His name is Eddie Rickenbacker, famous World War II military pilot. Had already accomplished much in the war when he got the command to go and deliver a message to General Douglas MacArthur. He and his 7-man crew took the orders and they flew off, taking their plane to deliver the message to the general. Problems happened in flight. They had to crash land that plane there in the Pacific Ocean, and they had 2 life preservers. Part of the crew got on one, the rest of the crew got on the other, and literally out there in the roaring waves of the Pacific, they were stranded for day after day after day. Went through all of their food, went through all of their water, came down to the 8th day, and they were out, totally out of food, totally out of water. One of their crew, one of the actual pilots had been injured in the landing. He passed away. They buried him at sea. 8th day, out there at sea, the 2 rafts still together. They had a prayer meeting. "God, will you send somebody to save us? We need your help. Will you send us help?" Oh, Eddie, after they prayed the prayer, pulled his old ball cap down over his head. Sun had been scorching them. And before long, here came a seagull, landed on his hat. He writes, "I was paralyzed. God had answered my prayer. Did I have the strength to grab this seagull? And what was I going to do? With every fiber in my being," ladies, forgive me, he grabbed that seagull, twisted his neck, pulled out all of the feathers out of that seagull, and he and his fellow crew members, they ate that seagull. And they used the intestines to fish where they caught other fish. And they used the fish that they caught as bait to continue on. And they started collecting water by the rain that would fall. They lasted out there for 24 days before they were rescued. And eventually he wrote his story in a book. But every Friday, he would go back to that pier and just remember Remember God answered his prayer. Remember that seagull that came and saved his life. Took the shrimp and just said, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. It's Easter Sunday. We have a tradition here in America where we come back to remember all that Jesus did for us. You know what we're doing? Jesus, thank you. Jesus, you are the perfect Lamb of God that gave your life so that we can live forever. And today, we say thank you. My question, have you ever put your faith in the Lord Jesus? I'm not asking you if you believe the elevator exists. I'm asking you, have you ever got on the Jesus elevator and say, Jesus, I believe in you. If you haven't, accept him today.